This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of July 2nd, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poems from Gitmo.
Some of the detainees are getting a chance to speak out in verse.
They don't have much to do, and so many have become poets.
A collection of their poetry will be published next month.
Some of the verses were originally written in toothpaste. Others were scratched onto styrofoam cups.
The military has refused to clear 3 of the 5 poems he submitted, along with at least a dozen others submitted by his colleagues.
You know, something unusual is happening when the publication of a new book of poems makes the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Poetry is rarely, if ever, even mentioned by major media. When the media does cover poetry, their stories are rarely about the quality of the language. They're usually about a backstory. And in this case, the backstory figures into one of the biggest stories of our time. The book is Poems from Guantanamo, The Detainees Speak, published by the University of Iowa Press.
Even to hear anything from these men, I think, is an event in and of itself.
That's Mark Falkoff. He's an attorney for 17 detainees at Guantanamo and the book's editor. He also happens to have a PhD in English. Falkoff agrees that the media attention on the book is less about the poetry than the men who wrote it.
Yes, there's something superficially striking or odd about these so-called worst of the worst, these so-called terrorists, writing poetry. There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect there.
A disconnect that the military views as highly suspicious. Long worried of secret terrorist communications embedded in poems, the Pentagon also thinks that the detainees' poetry can spread terrorist ideologies. On the NPR program Day to Day, co-host Madeline Brand read part of an email from the Pentagon's chief press officer, Commander Jeffrey Gordon, who refused a request by NPR to be interviewed on tape.
While a few detainees at Guantanamo have made efforts to author what they purport to be poetry, given the nature of their writings, they have seemingly not done so for the sake of art, such as musicians and playwrights. Instead, they have attempted to use this medium as merely another tool in their battle of ideas against Western democracies, against whom they are at war.
Many of the men imprisoned at Guantanamo were scooped off the battlefields of Afghanistan in 2001 and 2002 and classified as enemy combatants. The military has not given them the right to refute this charge in court, and they languish in a kind of legal limbo. The Pentagon didn't make it easy to bring out this book. Every poem first had to be translated into English in a secure location, often by attorneys who had never translated poetry before. And then it had to be approved by military censors. Over a dozen poems were rejected as security risks. And the 21 poems that did finally make it past the censors and into the book vary dramatically in subject, in tone, and in quality. Some poems read like hopeful prayers, some like anti-American rants, some are intimate cries of despair, others are bitter hymns to freedom and justice. Once again, Mark Falkoff.
A number are very pedestrian. Some are quite profoundly moving, but all of them are a testament to the human will striving against the bleakness of a horrible, horrible existence.
The power of these poems does not lie in the persuasiveness of their ideological statements. Those make for boring poems. Their power comes from the glimpse they give us of these prisoners as people, people who have turned to the writing of poems as a way of asserting their humanity in extremely dehumanizing conditions. The more ordinary poems about what solitary confinement feels like or about homesickness are the dangerous poems, because we can relate to the poets as people, not faceless terrorists. Mark Falkoff makes no secret of the fact that he wants this book to, as he puts it, prick the conscience of a nation over what he sees as the brutal and illegal treatment of the detainees at Guantanamo. And that's probably why Falkoff introduces each poem with a brief story of the detainee who wrote it. Take, for example, Death Poem by Juma Aldosari.
Juma is a Bahraini, and he's been in Guantanamo for nearly 6 years. Of that time, maybe 3 years have been in solitary confinement. He's in solitary confinement right now. By the military's own count, he's attempted suicide a dozen times. In reality, he surely attempted suicide more than that. During one visit, his lawyer left to allow Juma to take a bathroom break. And when Juma didn't announce that he was ready to begin the interview again, his lawyer went into the interview cell and found him hanging from the bars of his cage with a gash in his wrist and a pool of blood starting to form at his feet. So he's written this poem. Juma has written this poem called Death Poem. And I'll read that now. Take my blood, take my death shroud and the remnants of my body. Take photographs of my corpse at the grave, lonely. Send them to the world, to the judges, and to the people of conscience. Send them to the principled men and the fair-minded, and let them bear the guilty burden before the world of this innocent soul. Let them bear the burden before their children and before history of this wasted, sinless soul, of this soul which has suffered at the hands of the protectors of peace.
Yeah, now I know you don't know him personally, but why do you suppose somebody who has tried to commit suicide so many times took the trouble to write this poem?
Well, it's a good question. To me, it makes sense. There's really very little for these men to do in Guantanamo. They've been deprived almost entirely of reading materials. And I think what you have is a number of the detainees looking to exercise their minds, trying to fill the void of their existence in this prison, trying to create, trying to keep a grip on their humanity. And what they've done is they've written poems. That's one way in which they've tried to do that. And as time went on, they've been willing to share these poems with their lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Which one stands out in your mind? Which of these poems do you think represents the collection quite well?
I think the poem that I find most interesting and most moving, and that I find myself coming back to again and again, is called Ode to the Sea. And this is a poem by Ibrahim al-Rubayish. And really, it's a dialogue between the poet and the sea that's surrounding the island of Cuba. And what it is an indictment by the poet of the sea. He's telling the sea, you could be the means, the medium by which I receive letters and news from my family. You could be the way in which I return home by boat or by swimming. But instead, you've been complicit with my captors. You're acting as another guard. I could read part of it for you if you'd like.
I would. Please do.
O sea, do our chains offend you? It is only under compulsion that we daily come and go. Do you know our sins? Do you understand we were cast into this gloom? O sea, you taunt us in our captivity. You have colluded with our enemies, and you cruelly guard us. Don't the rocks tell you of the crimes committed in their midst? You have been beside us for 3 years, and what have you gained? Boats of poetry on the sea, a buried flame in a burning heart. The poet's words are the font of our power. His verse is the salve for our pained hearts.
Mark Falkoff, thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mark Falkoff is an assistant professor at the Northern Illinois University College of Law and an attorney for 17 Guantanamo prisoners. The book we've been talking about is called Poems from Guantanamo, The Detainees Speak, published by the University of Iowa Press. It should be out in a few weeks. Do let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.